Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I am here with psychic and author Neil Baker. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Here we are, Monday morning. Thanks for joining us. Want to let everybody know how to get in touch with us before we start the show. I think we're going to be talking a little bit about the condition of our world today, but of course, you can follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio to stay connected to our shows. We do have some callers in the queue. Please know that we do talk for a few minutes prior to taking calls, so we'll be getting two calls around a quarter after the hour today. Facebook, Twitter, I think that's all. I don't think there are any other announcements, Neil.
Okay.
All these accounts can be found under our Blog Talk Radio profile. There's also a fan page for Facebook. There's also Neil's author page. And, of course, you've written a book about what may be happening with the world. We're not exactly talking about that today, but...
No. Well, that book is not going to... That book is a satirical novel that takes a different slant about the world events. So it's not really a fact-based...
Right.
...document or anything. It's just a novel. But it's not like a novel that says specifically about the end times or what's happening in the world. It's totally satirical, and it's got all kinds of fable characters in it and things like that. So you're not going to really... there's some sense of Armageddon in there and the apocalypse, and it's a post-apocalyptic novel, but not your typical novel. It's like watching the movie... If anyone ever saw the movie Dr. Strangelove, it's like watching Dr. Strangelove trying to determine... From that satirical standpoint, that was during the arms race and everything in the 60s. But anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the conditions of the world right now, which I'm very concerned about. I don't think the world's going to come to an end, and I don't think that we're looking at that this is the year that the apocalypse happens or anything like that. But I do believe that we're at the beginning of the end for a attitude of what all world's going to come to in terms of the next world crisis, which I think is amounting. Now, how that's typically defined as in Revelations as the Battle of Armageddon, or when the world forces clash and angels and demons get involved and the four horsemen of the apocalypse comes in and Jesus comes down and the devil's involved. I mean, it's like a big grand movie, which I actually in my novel I satirize as a movie. But I think we are in a very, very difficult area that is not just another false alarm. I think we have entered the attitude that we're in the beginning of the tribulation. We're not there yet. I don't think we're at the beginning, but we're near the beginning of the tribulation. And even with this ISIS, this group that's popped up, there's always going to be groups that pop up. But ISIS, the most current militant group, which is extreme Muslim group, not normal Muslim group. This is an extreme Muslim group that even the Muslims are not associating with. These are terrible, terrible, terrible people. And now the latest beheading execution of the British aid worker, David Haynes, who was just recently decapitated, and that was put on video. All of these videos, Foley and I forget the other fellow's name. That
David Haynes, is that I-N-E-S?
H-I-N-E-S. H-A-I-N-E-S, I believe it is.
Stephen Sotloff, wasn't it, the other guy who was executed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, these are people that have gone over there to offer help, assistance, knowledge, information. So these are people who aren't even...
I'm going to interrupt you for a moment. I see someone coming back, calling and dropping out and calling back in. So I just want to let them know we do talk. I think they came in a little late. So we will take readings in a few minutes, but right now we're chatting. So we'll be there in a moment.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And
now,
even though,
sorry.
You know, some people are questioning the authenticity of these videos.
I question the authenticity of these videos, absolutely.
I don't because I am of the belief that we are at these are there's this cutaway in the video, so it shows this assailant, this executioner.
You've seen the execution of the Sotloff. We've watched Sotloff and the first guy.
We saw the first one.
Because
we didn't see the second.
We saw a piece of the second.
We saw a very, very piece of it. But so what happens is they put the knife through the throat, they cut away, and then they have the head resting on the body.
Right. Well,
but they don't actually show the full decapitation.
No, but
I don't know why,
no one shows the full decapitation, which I find interesting. You think that if you're a militant that is proud to be beheading people, that you actually film the whole thing. And I think there are many videos of other executions, like executions that are filmed in full. So
it's a little strange.
I think
strange
it's suspect,
there.
Absolutely.
It's a little strange there. But I don't want to take that slant right now because of my prophetic energy.
But even if it were, I let me see if I understand where you're going with this, Neil, and I'll let you speak. Whether or not they actually occurred or not, this is a movement in the direction of where you're talking about.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't, yeah.
That's not the point.
It's
a small point.
Correct.
That's exactly what I
thought.
And
I will go along with that. Whether these are authentic executions or not, we're at a very strategic place where we have the Battle of Armageddon, the battle in the Middle East, and the forces all coming together, and we begin the tribulation. I think we're getting near to that time. Now, the reason I'm so absorbed in this part of it, because I'm basically a psychic for people, I don't really position
myself. You're not a
myself,
psychic.
I don't really
teasing.
position myself as a world-wise psychic. Although
as being a psychic that's promoting yourself, like, you know, in the media and things like that.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You really are here to help people in an authentic way.
Individual people. But, you know, just in their lives, that's what I'm really wired to do. But I can't help it. I get visions, and that's what started this whole ball of wax with me going more into a worldwide level of energy, because as a young person, I think I was about 12, 13, I saw the 9/11 thing. I didn't know what I was looking at, but I saw the building crashing in New York and the planes and everything and people dying. And I was, I think, in the seventh grade then, so this was like 1960, this was around 1961, 62, somewhere in there. And I was seeing these things. Now, people who knew me back then still acknowledge and validate, I remember you talking about this. And then I went into my high school year still expressing concern over it because the visions were still there. When 9/11 happened, it was just what I saw. I do have clients in high positions that I've spoken to. And I before the war really broke out in the Middle East, the current one, the Iraq war, I was seeing visions of beheadings and suicide bombings and terrorism. Terrorism was something that I started to write books about in the early 70s on a novelistic level. And then now terrorism is a common term. when I was writing about terrorism back in the early 70s.
Right, because you wrote Delusions. That was that involves terrorism.
Now, that involves terrorism, but that was more in the line of the Nazi terrorism, neo-Nazi,
mm-hmm.
neo-Nazis.
Right, right, right.
I do allude to certain things about the Middle East in that novel, but I was taking the idea of neo-Nazism and bringing it forward at that point in time. But certainly as my novels progressed, I incorporated into that more of a feeling that terrorism was going to take over the world and we were going to be made subject to it. And so now it's there. It's in our language. It's in our lives. Right now our country is being threatened. And I do predict some harrowing things for our country. So on our homeland, I think we're going to be susceptible to several problems.
Right,
it's just
because
not going to be over there
in the
Middle East.
Exactly. We're isolated. Besides some events, small events that have happened or not happened, whatever, like Oklahoma City bombing, which may or may not have occurred, and 9/11, which I believe really did occur in some way, but we're going to, those have been isolated incidents. Now, you're saying that we're going to be living in a culture where it may be much more dangerous for us to leave our homes and conduct our lives in a normal way out in the world without fear of being killed.
We've got spies here. We've got bases here with the Islamic State, and I don't mean to criticize. I'm criticizing the radical element that wants to take over the world and convert the world and behead anybody who doesn't agree with them.
Right. Well.
And it goes deeper than that, of course.
Right. I mean, there's a deeper level of extremism than just maybe a religious group, I think. I mean, I think it involves a higher
element.
Element.
World government and all
exactly,
this kind of
thing. Exactly.
Yeah, I understand that. I do understand that. And because of our limited time, I can't really get into the depths of
that's
that.
That's okay. We don't. I'm
just trying to open up the stage here where we are. As a psychic, I'm not an expert on world affairs, but I am an expert on being a psychic and on knowing what my visions are. And I do plan to write a book in the near future regarding some of the events that are going on. But these books have already been written, so I don't know if I can add anything new to it except to how I might incorporate it into the element of numerology, which is a decoded thing. So there may be some forthcoming information there. I do believe that even though ISIS is not a large group and a lot of the territory they occupy is just dead desert, so it seems like that they occupy a lot of territory and they're charging a lot of territory, but actually it's just vast wasteland.
Uh-huh.
They still pose a threat, and they're radical, and they do have splintered groups and things like that. So I do think we have to treat them as a threat. I do think that they are planning to hit the United States within. I think they have plans for that. I don't want to go into specifics again over the radio because this is a public forum and I don't want to get into specifics. I want to stay kind of conservative in my dialogue here today.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that our homeland is prone for invasion now. And we have to be very careful and concerned and aggressive, but strategic and wise about how we approach this terrorist group. Because I think it is the beginning of a very, very turbulent time where there'll be no turning back. I think it's biblically inclined assumptions here that are going on. I think that this was written about thousands of years ago, and that this is what we're amounting to. So it's become now in our face. I mean, we're now every time that someone's executed, this is a small threat leading to a big threat, a small reality leading to a big reality.
We'll put quotes around that word executed.
Yeah, I know you have issues with that, but I'm not here. We're not here to debate that with our limited time. The deeper attitude is that we are seriously in a difficult situation.
So today's radio show isn't going to be about the opportunity that 2014 is bringing.
Yeah, well, it's 2014. This is, I knew that. I've been talking on other radio shows too about 2014
being
a difficult
year.
This is not the year that all the angels are going to come down. We're going to have this wonderful, blessed planet. Forget about it. This is the year that we are going to be in turmoil, It's the beginning of a next probably 4 years of harder realities. This is not going to go away. And I think we have a long, tough road ahead of us. Now, some of this is already biblically stated, and there's not going to be any deviation from that. There is going to be a line of accuracy and a line of no return that will go on. By the grace of God, I don't know how much longer they can prolong this, but I see the next 4 years between 2015 and around 2019, 2020 as being tremendously difficult years. Where our country is going to be, laws are going to be changed, curfews are going to be changed, we're going to have attacks here and there. These are the things that I'm seeing as we approach the next 4 years and our country gets into a different consciousness. We're not going to be isolationists. We're all going to be involved in some level of activity and knowledge. Again, we can't spend too much time on this, and I don't just want to present the beginning of our show with a panic statement, but I do want to start to open up the dialogue. Maybe at some point in time in a future show we can be a little bit more relaxed about the dialogue, not the panic of our statements, but more or less the logic of and more of the details of what is forthcoming for us in this country.
Okay, Neil. Well, we do have several callers, and yeah, it's not the greatest topic because, of course, we all want to have a peaceful planet, but, you know, we have to be aware. So I think it's important to share your knowledge, so thank you for doing so. Okay, we've got callers from the same area code, so 315-725 is first, then the next caller from 315-794 is next, and then we have 760. Let's bring on our first. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's this?
This is Barbara Jean.
Barbara Jean?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A?
Yes.
Okay, J-E-A-N. And where are you calling from? What's your birth date, Barbara Jean?
My birth date is February 16th, 1962. And I am physically in Florida, but I live in New York.
Okay,
I'm on vacation.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
19.
And I have to say, what Neil was talking about, I'm sad to hear his prediction just because to have to face more of that, that's just, it is what it is, you know, but it is upsetting to hear.
I'm sorry to upset you.
Oh, that's okay. You just hope that things would turn around sooner than 4 years, but unfortunately.
Oh, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything to say about that.
Well, I pray to God, Barbara, that I'm wrong. I hope I am wrong. I don't know.
But, I mean, it is, like you said, it is getting worse. You know, it's going to get worse before it gets better, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be quite some time before it gets better.
I mean, we might be able to defeat ISIS as it is, but it's going to be a little problematic. I mean, more than that, so. But
Barbara, do you have a question today for us?
Pardon me?
Do you have a question?
Yes. I was just wondering what Neil saw for me, if anything. I am a single mom. And I just, you know, ended a relationship a couple years ago, and I met someone who's younger than me, and I just was curious if that was, you know, we've only known each other a couple months, and I just was wondering what Neil saw in that, you know, especially with what the world's coming to. You know, my kids are grown. I just was hoping to find someone to share the experience.
All right. 27-9.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that our lives are coming to an end in 4 years.
But I mean, you just hope, you know. I just was wondering if you saw anything. I mean, I was positive about this person, but they are younger. And
can I ask you real quick, Barbara? Can I ask Barbara Jean? 1989, when you were 27. Was that a change? Did you have a child? Did you move?
That's probably a turbulent point in my marriage, and I had another child. I had a child in 1992, but and I think that was an attempt to kind of the marriage would turn around with that. As horrible as that might seem, I mean, I love my son and everything, but that was probably an attempt to. I mean, things had gotten really bad really fast, and
yeah.
I had two kids early in the marriage, and then one later. So, I mean, it had gotten bad right from the beginning. And that was, if I'm thinking back, those were not fun years. They were horrible years. And I may have attempted to leave. I have attempted to leave a few times, and that may have been the time. Because the kids were, I know the kids were young.
Yeah. Well, you see, your karmic number is 27. Your master number, Barbara Jean, is 9. Now, 27 is hidden in your first three numbers. It's 2, and then, look, 1-6. Put the 1-6 together, you have a 7. Now, remember what I said, your master number is 9. It's made up of a karmic number of 27. And you have a 2, and then the 1-6 is. Now, you also have, going backwards in your year, you have a 2, and then you have a 6. And the 19 is a 10 or a 1. So you actually visualize that 19 in numerology as a 10 or a 1. So you have a 2, 6, 1, just like you have it in the beginning, 2, 1, 6. So you have this reflective energy. So what I'm predicting is that, yes, indeed, you the relationship, this relationship coming up is not, it may not be the one. May not be the one, but it could be. Now, what I think is that we'd have to look at is who's born in March around you? Who's March?
My ex-husband was March.
So, okay, let me talk, Barbara. I'm sorry because the readings are short, so I'm trying to give you information so you don't have to get, you know, so I'm trying to help you on the radio and tell you what I know.
Right.
The March date that I got from, you see, I have it like angel guides. So they'll tell me information. And they and I said to them real quickly, Barbara Jean, I said, you know, I'm trying to help Barbara Jean on the radio today. Tell me something really quick.
You sound like an auctioneer.
Yeah.
You're talking so fast.
I am. I don't know why I'm talking so fast. We have a lot of callers.
Yeah.
You can always listen to the archives. I talk fast so people were forced to listen to the archives. It makes our show look like we have more ratings. But anyway, March, when I asked about an angel about your relationship coming up, they said, ask about the March date. We go back to your former husband. Now, this man and you were not soulmates, but you were involved in a past life, the two of you. And that past life was so problematic that it was left unresolved. So you had to come back and regroup with him, even though he was not going to be your ultimate transcendent soulmate. You had to come back because karma you two produced, regroup with him, and also in the depth of that energy, it required that you have three children. So you had the three children. Was there any alcoholism anywhere in the family or with him or with your parent?
Not in the immediate family, no. Extended family there were, but no, he was not. God, no, help me. No, he wasn't a drinker. and neither were my parents or siblings.
Just real quickly, I want to know the extended family. Can you tell me in 15 seconds?
My mom's first uncles and them, a lot of them were drinkers.
Oh, on your mom's side?
On my mom's side.
On your mom's side, her parents, her parents' siblings were drinkers.
Right.
I got it. Okay. So
my sister's husband is a drinker, but he's not really a relation.
Oh, no, but it is.
Yeah.
I got to go there.
Yeah.
I got to go there.
Oh, okay.
So it's sister's.
Yeah, my sister's husband is a drunk.
Okay, a drunk. Okay, good. We got down to the nitty-gritty. We got callers.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you. Because I don't have a lot of time, based on the information I got briefly on the radio today and the fact that March was your ex-husband's birthday, you had these three children and there was a divorce and things like that, I'm figuring that this new person, there could be some very, very, very serious intent there. Now, Barbara Jean, there's going to be something involved with New York around you, so I want you to keep that on your future list of items. Do you have any connection so far with New York?
New York City, you mean?
Yeah.
No, my sister lived there briefly, you know.
That the same one with the drunk?
No, this is my younger sister.
Okay, so I'm going to your sibling stuff. Okay, I want you to know that this relationship, I don't have really time to much go into it, but from the information I've gathered about you so far, I think that this relationship has a potential to be very serious. I'd love to talk to you more about it, but I just don't have time.
Yeah,
no problem.
As far as the line being, Barbara Jean, whether it's on or off, I would say more green light than anything. So there's something kind of deep going on here that you've got to explore.
Okay.
All right, Barbara Jean, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. 562-596, you too, 562-596-7818 is Neil's direct number. Difficult to get into the readings as deeply as we'd like on the radio show because there's so much information. It was really interesting how you were picking up on their siblings. And so I want to remind our callers that Neil doesn't always – you have to dig deep when these hits come in because, you know, the connections were there, but, you know, it just takes a little bit more time.
Yeah, it's very important because the attitude of what the theme is that comes in helps me to analyze the position of whatever it is. So I sometimes move out into the outer realms, which is important for a psychic to do, to see what information I have to gather to bring in this into a closer attitude. And then that gives me a vibration as to whether it's yes or no, especially on these radio readings where you're so limited by time.
Right, right, right. So be quick on your feet, people. And, of course, Barbara Jean and the rest of you can join us on Facebook. Follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. Join us on Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we have four more callers and half a show left, 30 minutes.
Oh, four more callers in 30 minutes? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
315-794, area code. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
It's Regina.
Hi, Regina. Location and birth dates, please.
Presently, I'm in Florida, but I'm from upstate New York.
Oh, okay. Are you vacationing together, Barbara
Yes.
Jean?
Yes.
Kind of figured. Okay. Too much of a coincidence. Yeah, she's from New York. Vacationing together.
Oh, I didn't know she was from New York.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah. You didn't hear that.
No, I didn't hear that.
I was spacing out. Okay, Regina, what's your birth date?
January 14th,
1957. 57, all righty. And what's your question today? 16?
I just can't seem to let go of something that happened in my past, which is preventing me from moving on.
Are you two sisters?
No.
Friends.
Just friends.
Okay. Just wanted to see if there was a family connection.
Let me ask you something, Regina.
Who
in your family, you or somebody near you, that has eye problems or eyesight problems, vision problems?
No one that I'm aware of.
Do you wear glasses or anything?
For distance and driving,
okay.
Computer work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got it. Do you know anyone who has ever knocked unconscious, any head trauma?
No.
And no car accidents, nothing within your family?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, don't worry about that. Let me just go on a different zone. This may be from a caller coming up. The other issue, Regina, is you're compounded. You're a 28-10-1, and that has to do somehow with a base energy problem. Which could be some form of abandonment. There could be some form of abandonment or abuse early in the years. Now, were you a victim of either abandonment, parent stuff, or abuse, physical, verbal, sexual?
Nothing like that.
Nothing like that. Go ahead and tell me what the issue is that you're having trouble letting go of.
Well, I was married. I'm presently legally separated, but we've been together almost 40 years. He was unfaithful, which happened over 20 years ago, which I still can't seem to get over, which is preventing me from moving on. It seems
okay,
like there's...
Yeah, let me tell you something, Regina. When I... Regina.
R-E-G?
Yes, R-E-G-I-N-A.
Regina. Let me tell you something, Regina. The attitude of sexual abuse, does I equate that also with adultery or when a spouse steps out and does something behind their spouse's back and has an affair, I consider that sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's how I think. I don't care how other people put it, but that's how I think. If you're going to be unsafe, it's a form of sexual abuse because it's almost it's an assault, and so that's what I'm picking up on. Now the fact that this happened 20 years ago, have you made amends? Has he gotten to a place?
That's the whole thing. We did separate back when that happened, and then we did get back together, but it was never totally. Right, you know what I mean? It just wasn't. We existed. I mean, we weren't fighting or anything, but we just, like, we could have been roommates type of thing. And I've since retired, so obviously I have more time on my hands than I did before, which you have more time to think. And then, you know, through the years you find out more and more, which is kind of haunting. But it's hard for me to move on.
Well, Regina, here's the thing. You're 57 years old, and you're born in 1957. This is a great change in your life right now. In fact, 56 was a duplication of your karma. Your karma was at 28, and 28 times 2 is 56. So actually, last year, there should have been probably an attempt to deeply examine your marriage and say, am I bold enough now that my kids are grown up, whatever, am I bold enough to separate and find a new life, or do I stay attached to the one I'm in? You have to really consider, Regina, why are you staying? If you're staying out of fear or insecurity or just a comfort level that you don't really want to venture out into the world and start anew, you're dealing with an extended karma that won't be healthy. And you're wasting your life in that regard. If you are saying, no, I want to stay because I want to work this out and I want to explore deeply what's going on or what's happened, then you need therapy with your spouse. But to me, in my estimation, if you're going to make a change, Regina, if you're done and you've done your service for your children and you're not happy in the marriage and your spouse is not really ready to go deep and renew the vows, renew the relationship, and treat you with the vitality he should as a lover and a husband and a companion and a friend, then you should really think to yourself and say, you know, the line's got to be drawn. I've got to consider how I'm going to conduct myself throughout the rest of my life, and then you have to start to act appropriately towards a sense of separation and divorce. Otherwise, if you're going to stay, get into the depth of it and make sure that he cooperates in that journey. If he doesn't, then you're just being complacent and you're going to have more of a karmic element that you're going to be dealing with. And then, to me, that gets serious because it's something that your soul carries and it compels you to come back upon your departure from the earth. You come back and work it out again. Do you want to do that? I don't know. But if you don't, this is the year to take action before January.
And that's ironic you say that because he's been asking me to go away in January.
Hmm. You mean go away on a vacation together?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, then you've got to seriously talk to this man and say, why are we together? What is this really about? In terms of the future, in terms of the vitality and the intensity of the relationship, and if there's something that you need to resolve with him, you know, get professional therapy or professional help, or if the two of you have your heads on straight, you can do it between the two of you. But I feel that it's just not a complacent, let me hold on to you until January and we'll go on a nice vacation, because my insecurity is that I want to keep you even though we're not healthy.
We've got...
You can't keep doing that. That's the main thing.
Right, and I don't want to be a possession. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you got to think this through, Regina, and by January, you got to make your decision.
Okay.
Regina.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And
thank
sorry
you.
To cut short. We do have several people waiting, and I want to make sure we get to every caller. We do attempt to get to every caller that
yeah,
we,
that's our
you
team.
Know.
Try to get to everybody who calls, so forgive us for the sharp time here.
But that was insightful, Neil, and Regina can reach you at 562-596-7818. We have, I believe, Renee on the line. She's 1028-61-2810-1. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
You know, I have like some negative stuff going on, and it's with my boss, and it's with the guy I date, and it's like I feel like she's very envious and almost hateful at the fact that I've met somebody, and I just feel like all this negative energy, and it's really getting to me.
So you're still doing the nanny work,
the
right?
Yeah. Right.
And then you also met somebody recently, so that was what we talked about last time, and you're still dating this gentleman.
Kind of, yeah. You know, it's gotten to the point where I just, like, I don't even want to deal with the drama, so I catch myself, like, not being available, because if he comes here or she finds out we're talking, it's just like, I don't know. The problem with it is she works with him, and I am now finding out that she's always had a crush on him, but this woman's married. And it's just like a big drama, and he's not interested in her, and it's just like, but it's a big, like, chaotic drama, and it's not, I was married for 35 years happily. I don't know how this whole drama, man, woman shit works. It's like crazy to me.
So she's saying that the woman that she works for is married but has a crush on this guy that she works with that Renee happens to be dating.
Well,
it's just a little weird.
The woman you're working for is really into power and is, you know, I mean, Renee, was your mother problematic, your own mother?
No, my mother was very domineering and very, very much, I'm a lot like my mother. It's like, I'm straight, I'll tell you about yourself whether you want to hear it or not. I don't have time for bullshit. I'm going to tell you about it, you're going to hear me out, and that's that. I hate the bullshit.
Your mother... Yeah, your mother was domineering. Mothers can be domineering. That's their role, the matriarchal, and that's what they do. But what I mean is that your exchange of energy here, you're in a karmic relationship with your boss, and your boss is overriding the limits of her jurisdiction over life. So for her to have a marriage and not respect that marriage and then have this boyfriend and not respect that and then tell you that she threatened... I mean, she wants it all. She wants all the eggs. She wants everything her way.
Yeah.
And the fact that she could be... Yeah, the fact... Let me talk. The fact that she can be intimidated or overrule your energy to the extent that she's kind of like threatening your job or whatever, and she's going to make it difficult for you. You know, you're going to have to play your part here, Renee. Is this... You're in a karmic situation. You're in a karmic triangle. So it is karmic. It is a past life thing. You have to consider, is he worth it? First of all, is he worth it? Because if your job's important, he isn't?
Well, I mean, my job is more important. I need to have a job. And he's
then
just
let
like,
go with it.
You know, I'm just dating. I don't want to get married. I don't want to be in love. You know what I mean? It's like I'm just stumbling here a little bit. Because
no,
it's all new
like,
to me.
You're in a web. And I would say it's not right now. It's not worth it to be caught in this. If you're not totally in love with this guy and want to fight for him, let go of it. It's too much karma involved in this. I would rather counsel you to protect your job, given that there's a couple of villains in these pieces of information. And I'm not saying it's that she's right and that what I'm telling you is really right. It's just wise counsel that you should. Probably consider the status of your job over this relationship and find some other guy to save
you. Okay, I kind of thought that.
I'm sorry?
I've been thinking that this last few days, and that's why I said, well, I'm going to call you because this is what, I dream this stuff or I know this stuff already. So it's like I already know what I got to do, but I wanted to bounce it off of you because you're saying pretty much the same thing I've been doing.
So I'm validating... It's a tough one, Renee. I feel bad for you because, you know, you shouldn't have to be in a position where you have to relinquish a relationship because your boss is threatening you and she's not acting appropriately. But wiser counsel here with that in mind would be let go of them, keep your job right now, and let those two work it out. I don't know. You know, if they can agree that they're both wrong and that he you know, let him work it out with her, but she's going to probably get pissed off. So I would just stay out of it. I would let go of it and keep your work.
Okay. Like I said, I wanted to hear it from you. I'm running out the door, so I'm going to have to hang up, but I just wanted to hear from you because I do know that I got to do this and I got to cut it.
Yeah.
Drop it like it's hot.
Yeah.
All right, well, keep us posted, Renee, all right?
I will, you know I will. You guys have a great afternoon.
You too.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
I mean, you know, that's good to know that she was thinking along the same lines as you. Unfortunately, you know, having to compromise a relationship versus a job is not a fun decision, but it sounds like she's not really in, you know, the vein of a commitment with this man anyway. So.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. That's a good point. It doesn't sound like she's in that place anyway. So it's just a shame because she probably wouldn't give him up if things were going smoothly. But, you know, these are the karmic situations that we get involved in. They're very complex when they're karmically have a vibration.
I am having a problem muting her call. Let me just refresh the browser. We're going to get to our next caller, 952, and then we have a caller from 612. But I have a frozen internet. What is going on here? See if I can bring the next caller on. Neil, talk for a minute while I do.
Frozen internet. You know, I heard that the ride, the Frozen, the Walt Disney, the Frozen cartoon, they're developing a ride, a Frozen ride, attraction ride in Florida. So when you brought up Frozen, I just read that Disneyland is planning to open up a Frozen ride in Disneyland, Florida.
Oh, boy, I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, I know how much you love amusement parks.
It's really odd. I'm having a problem here. Hold on just
you know, but as you're connecting to that, you know, the relationships can be transcendent or karmic, meaning past life. You can have a past life relationship that is also transcendent. Those are the most beautiful. When you reconnect to a soul that you connected to before, you're here working out a little bit of karma with the soul, and then at the same time, the energy is such that you're both going to graduate to a higher position of not just working out problems, but formulating a life that is fresh and new and exciting. Those are the most rounded energies of all. Once in a while, you can meet somebody that you've had no past life with, no karma with. They're just new, fresh energies. You haven't even met them on a soul plane. Those are kind of unique. Those are always kind of new and refreshing, too.
Right.
And there is a way to gauge those and measure those, the differences between those things. In the more thorough investigation of a relationship.
So sometimes you can have relationships with people that are from a soul plane. You've never had a karmic tie with them on the earth?
Yeah. Totally fresh. You've never encountered this person in any... I mean, it's hard to find that because most of us do encounter, again, in our lifetime, individuals that we've known before, either on a physical level in the earth or on a soul level. Because when we leave the body, when we die and we leave the body and we go to the soul plane, we can encounter all kinds of people, energies there. They're in the soul state, S-O-U-L, but we can develop new friends there, new energies. And I'm using a crude analogy because in the soul plane, you don't really eat, and you don't really do the same things as you would on the earth to survive because you're in the body on the earth.
Right.
In fact, in the soul plane, sexuality is even a question because there's really nothing in the body that would equate to sexuality. So what we're going to do is we're going to get to the next caller.
We are trying to get to the next caller, but we're having a problem.
An internet problem, but hang in there because I think we're going to be able to get to the next caller within about 50 seconds here.
Oh,
and move forward there and make this connection. But you know, as we're waiting just in a few seconds of time here, we were talking before. I don't think I want to go back to the idea of the state of the world. Let's leave that alone right now. But if we get into the energy of relationships, because it seems to be most of our callers are dealing with relationships, the one way that I look at relationships, I look at the numerology of the birth date. I get a vibration of the individuals. So it's a combination. It's a cocktail. It's a birth date analysis. It's an energy analysis. Those are the two main things that I work with. When I meet couples in person, there's even a third level of interpretation within that in mind.
All right. So we're going to bring our caller from 952 on, and then we have 612. We may have to go over a few minutes now just to give them adequate readings here, one or two minutes. Let's bring on 952. Good morning, 952. We're so sorry to make you wait.
Oh, no problem. Good morning.
Thanks. We had a little problem with, I think, the router here. But what is your name and your birthday and location, please?
Brad, and I'm in Minneapolis.
Brad in Minneapolis. And your birthday, Brad?
2/22/58.
Okay. 2/22/58. And what brings you to our show?
More of just a general guidance, more general reading. Am I on the right path?
Okay.
That kind of thing.
All right.
Let's see. You are right now 56 years old.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Brad, you know, you come into the world with a kind of a difficult number. In numerology, Brad, you're a 29-11-2. So your master number is 2. You have a karma at 29-11. Usually, not every time, but usually, men, women who are 29-11-2s, they have a difficult relationship journey. Indeed, some of the relationships can get on the dark side, meaning that even in your family, there can be some trouble. You know, a troubling parent, a troubling energy in the family. There can be divorce. Sometimes people who are 29-11-2s are susceptible to people around them that have problems, alcohol or anger management problems. So far, has this applied to your lifetime this time around?
Not, I must be one of the lucky ones.
Well, okay, because it's like I said, usually this is the count. I've been doing this over 40 years, and so I base it purely on empirical evidence. But there are energies that will escape the energy. Now, what you do have that's kind of interesting, Brad, is you have three twos, which amount to a six, which has some kind of visionary energy. Now, have you ever been involved in a... have you ever been involved in any kind of work where your vision would be part of the process of your work? In other words, have you been self-employed, worked for yourself, did anything visionary on computers or networking or websites?
I don't work for myself. I work for a large company, but I'm the director of finance. So a lot of my work involves projections and what will this particular product do for... You know, in the future, will it grow? Will it not grow? What's the trends and things like that? And projecting forward, that's almost my entire job. So,
hey, so in that regard, that's where the visionary portion of the energy is that I'm tapping into. That a lot of your work does require visionary perspective on what you're doing. Now, the eight, since you're a numbers man, the eight in your year amounts to money or finances or energies. I'm going about this so quickly, Brad, because of the lack of time on the radio.
No problem.
Eight amounts to money, and you're next to a five. You're born 58. Now, and this is numerical translation. So the five and the eight would be the communication of energy. So there's some sense of management and finances. Eight is finance, money. Five is expression. So there's something in there. You're 56 years old, which means that when you're 58, you have a tremendous change. So now I'm getting into more of a theory of your future. 58 is going to be a change. Don't forget, your karmic number is 29. Now you double that karma, Brad, and you get 58.
You're born in 58. So I'm dealing with a coded form of information. So when you're 58, you're going to make a major change. I think that you're going to be working, but you're going to be probably either moving or elevating to a higher essence of even what you're doing now. So there could be a change, a geographical change where you're working,
mm-hmm.
or if there isn't a geographical change, it will be a strategic change within the company you're working with. Where did you ever work for a period of 10 years at one time?
This is the job.
How long have you been working there?
15.
So you've been working there 15, so at the 10th year period, Brad, was there a change about 5 years ago?
Yeah, pretty drastic change, actually, yeah.
So,
I mean, you're right on there, so.
Yeah. Now I'm getting into a deeper layer of interpreting your energy field, which you know, sometimes when you're doing when I do readings, I don't think I've ever talked to you, Brad, but when I do readings, I'm a psychic, but I also investigate. Not investigate to manipulate my readings to seem true, but investigate to authenticate the element of where I'm going and what I'm getting a vibe for. So 5 years ago, at the 10-year period, there was a drastic change. So I'm determining that 7 years henceforth, which would put you, it's been 5 years, so at the age of 58, it's going to be 7 years henceforth. There's going to be another change going on, but I think this one's going to graduate the position. And do you ever deal with anything in Europe?
Not so much, no. Not right now.
Well, that's going to change, Brad. So I think
okay.
Europe, can you project from where you're standing now in time that Europe could possibly open up for you? Do you see anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Actually, we talk a lot about that. We're pretty much a domestic entity right now. And a lot of our products just don't resonate with the Europe market, but that doesn't mean they couldn't, and they probably will if we do introduce them there. But we've been talking about that a lot the last probably 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years into the future, you're
mm-hmm.
It's going to open up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to open up. So I think that that's going to be vastly important. Also, I want you to put another name for you in the future, near future. The name will be Alan. So Alan is going to be an important name for you coming up in time that will have something to do with the business aspect of what you're doing. I don't think there's an Alan present. Is there an Alan present now, or was there any Alan?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, in Canada, which we can kind of consider domestic, there was an Alan kind of working indirectly for me up until about 6 months ago.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm doing is I'm starting to read your energy, which,
mm-hmm.
The radio can't accommodate where I'm going with this kind of a read. But I'm starting to get a feel and a vibe about you. I can tell you this much on the radio today, Brad. When you're 58, a huge change, it's going to be a nice change, an exciting change, something that really makes you feel like you get up in the morning, you're very excited about work and life.
So good.
I can predict that at the age of 58. Between now and 58 are details that I just don't have time to get into, but I want to get some kind of broad perspective on where you're going.
I appreciate you spending time with me.
You bet.
Okay.
Thanks so much. You're welcome, Brad. And Brad, you directly at 562-596-7818. That's how to get in touch with Neil. He can join us on Facebook, on Twitter, and right here on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, let's bring our caller on from 612. This is our last caller. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Mary, also from Minneapolis. Coincidence is interesting. And my birth date is 6-8-65.
It's interesting. People do group together on the show. Lots
yeah.
of coincidences occur, but they're obviously more than coincidences. A lot of times there's a tribal energy going on, so people do connect from past lives and everything like that. Okay, 14, 24, am I getting that right? 35, 8. And Mary, what's your question?
I tend to gather psychic information through my dreams because for me it's the least scary way. Last night is very interesting. Like someone was teaching me something. They called it like skitter, and it was like sort of moving in consecutive infinity symbols until you could go ahead, and they said you could go and affect something from the past. And for me, I was like, whoa, that's just too much. Can you tell me, was I interacting with a positive teacher or with one I should avoid? It was a very memorable thing. I could feel it. And I still think today I can feel that energy, but I wanted to see who that may have been and if it was okay.
No, yeah. Mary, I appreciate your question because we do have light and dark elements out there and energies and spirits and angels, demons, guides, false guides, all kinds of things. And you had an infinity symbol. Now, your master number is eight. And the affinity symbol's on its side, but that's a sign that the entity that you, the spirit you were talking to, is accommodating you by acknowledging your master number eight, putting it on its side as a formulated energy of introduction, that it recognizes the master number that you are. Eight is a transcendent number. It exceeds the seventh chakra, which is the crown chakra of the body. Eight is a management number, as I was explaining to Brad. It's a money number, an infinity number, and you even have it in your days because you're 6-8. So your master number eight is also equated to your day that you were born. That's next to a six, which is your third eye, which brings into your element of the sixth chakra, intuition. So you are being given guidance and energy in terms of your dream. Your dreams would be worthy of interpretation because they're going to mean something. You can be in an element that what you're being told is to be shared with at least one or two persons, if not more. So there's an attitude that they're giving you information that should be shared with others given your position in life. Now, anybody in your world that had any eye problem or head problem or trauma or accidents, anybody?
Someone passed last night that, and he actually told me it was his last day, and of a brain tumor.
Yeah, so you're the energy that I've been picking up today. With the other callers, I've been waiting to see who was in line that was going to give me the validation. It happens to be you. That individual is already freshly crossed over, obviously, but I'm getting a vibration that they're reaching out to you because this individual wanted to get to connect to me to connect to you. I don't know about the full details because of our lack of time. That would take a little bit more time for me, but suffice to say, they're trying to reach out to you, and they were here probably first in line, Kristen. Probably they might have even caused a little bit of disturbance in
the connection.
We've never had this before.
Yeah, we're
so his energy, he apologizes for that, but there's a lot of electrical energy around him, and people who die from brain hemorrhages, things like that, there's a lot of electrical charge going on in that regard. So I think that's where the energy is. And do you have a brother, Mary? Are you have any...
Yes, I have two brothers.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm getting more information about, you know, the reading's starting to go a little bit deeper in tone. But let me just get to your question. That was a prophetic dream. You do have spirit guides around you. I think the person who crossed over was part of that dream. I can't elaborate more than that, but there's a connection therein.
And there's a positive. It's a positive element.
Yeah,
it's
positive.
Not a negative element.
Not negative
good.
At all.
And it's... Because it's good to, I mean, I think those things are important because it sort of scared me. And then I thought, I know I'm supposed to be learning stuff through this thing, so I wanted to call and check that out. So I so appreciate that. Can you tell me if the touch you have on my brother is an older or younger brother?
Well, we really don't have time because
I
wouldn't give you a fair assessment of that. I just don't have time to go into that, Mary,
but
today.
That's okay, because I so appreciate you talking about my dreams and about Lee who passed over. That's very interesting.
You can always call us again, Mary.
Thank you. I tended to interact sometimes with people as they're passing, and I didn't know he had passed until just a little bit ago. So it's nice to know that maybe I got to be a part of that for him. So thank you. That was a wonderful gift.
You're very welcome. And Mary can reach Neil 562-596-7818. She can also call our show again here on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Everyone, please join us here on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook, and on Twitter. We'll see you on Wednesday. Thanks. Bye-bye.